In this episode of COL Drag Race Tea Time, it's time for a little snatch game. The classic RuPaul staple makes its way into season 9. Hear what the guys have to say about the girls' impersonations. Plus, there's more Madonna than you can shake a coon tata at. Hey, Mr. DJ, put a record on the COL Drag Race Tea Time season 9, episode 6, starts now.
RuPaul Drag Race.
Hey everybody, it's May the 4th be with you of 2017, and welcome to Cubs Out Loud Drag Race Tea Time Season 9, episode number 6. You know that sexy 6 that everybody wants, because it's about Snatch Game, that's why.
Yes!
All right. For those of you that may not be aware, I'm Gary, and with me are my co-hosts.
Hey, everybody. It's Damon.
Hi, everyone. Chester here.
Yes. And before we get into talking about last week's episode, we have some feedback.
Ooh, feedback.
Now, I think I forgot this feedback before on like an earlier show, so I apologize. And if I've already done it before, then, well, just whatever. We're going to do it again. So over in the regular series, we have somebody who recently started following us and has kind of been interacting. Mm-hmm. So I think I put two and two together, and I know who this person is, like both their online personality and their Facebook personality, because this is from Facebook. And so this is right after the first dual episode that we did, because we did combo, which was very difficult, so we decided we're not doing that again. That being said, Paul Hobby posted and said, "Yay, I love this series. Kind of glad you guys did twofers, partially because Gary didn't get to compare every new queen on their entrance to a past queen. Love you, girl, but you're not good at it."
Damn. Shade, where's my fan?
I know. But I'm gonna forgive him because he's cute.
Well, isn't that special?
Like cute in a we can meet up sometime and have some fun kind of way. Be at a truck stop, pickle park, bathhouse, garage. Anyways.
Wow.
And then what's funny is Paul right after that also commented and said, "The rest of your commentary is always entertaining and thought-provoking, BTW."
That's sweet.
So I think it was, that probably didn't sound very good. So let me add a little something on to the end.
It's a compliment sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Good compliment. Shade.
Nice. So yeah, so we had a little bit of feedback. So I want to apologize if we skipped it. I don't think we went over that before. I think Dan was our other comment feedback. So, but we're switching things up a little bit. We had a discussion amongst the three of us as co-hosts about doing a little rearranging and some editing. So don't be thrown off if you're confused about what we're going to do. It's not big changes, but it's just little tweaks. Make it a little better. So thoughts on this episode? I got one thing to say, and it's a question. How much did you prepare? Because some of y'all, as contestants, competitors, seem to have your shit together. And some of y'all didn't.
Yep.
Very much. I'm not going to say anybody was a crash burning comet of a disaster, but. It was difficult because the people who were really good were really good.
Really good.
Right. Yeah. And then that makes you just look that much worse. So
yeah.
I don't know what to say because we're in season 9. It's like the things everyone else bitches about. How can you not sew? Yeah. How can you not know how to like dance or whatever? How to paint? Yeah. I mean, something. I'm kind of like, yeah. How can you? How can you not know how to do? Right. How can you not know how to lip sync? Well, anyways, we already discussed that before. Go back and watch the other episode. In this case, I'm not going to fault someone for not knowing how to do an impression, but I just feel like, where was your entourage? Like, what's the deal that it seems like you should have had an enclave of family and friends who would help you figure out what you would do best instead of what you personally think is best. And then that doesn't necessarily work out because sometimes you have an obvious choice and then that does not go well.
Yeah.
Case in point. Anyways, we'll get to that later. Damon, what about you? What are your thoughts on the episode?
Well, it's going to kind of follow on to what you said. You know what's coming. You know what's coming. Like that's my biggest thing throughout this whole thing is this is season 9. This ain't season 1 or 2 or 3 where everything was kind of like, ooh, we don't know what's going on. No, this is season 9. You know this challenge is coming. You know before you audition for the show, get brought onto the show, you know before all this. So you know if you're gonna do a snatch game and there's gonna be a snatch game and you're gonna be doing your character, you know the two things. Make the character believable in some sense and make them funny. Make Rue laugh. Those are the two goals of Snatch Game. If you don't do one, or you do one but you don't do the other, especially making her laugh, like you have to make her laugh. You have to make them all laugh. That's the only way to kind of, if your face or whatever is not on point, if you make Rue laugh, you're good. For example, no, I'm going to go back to previous seasons. For example, Sherry Needles, Michelle Visage. Didn't look a damn thing like her, but she made Rue laugh. She put some thought into what she was doing. She knew what she was going to say. She kind of came up with these weird things on the fly. It all worked out. If you're not going to work on that, it's just not going to work.
Well, there was a confessional, you know, that someone said directly to camera, like, here are the 3 or 4 rules for Snatch Game. I mean, they spelled it out as a contestant. That contestant, notably, I thought, was on the upper end, you know, not making a mess of themselves, so to speak. But
yeah, it's just one of those things where, again, like I said, you know it's coming. You should be prepared for it, like you said. I really think you should know better. It's the same with like sewing and with dancing and with like doing an acting challenge or something along those lines. You're going to be doing it. You know you're going to be doing it. So maybe take some dance classes. Maybe take some sewing lessons. Maybe come up with a character that you can actually do.
Well, and that's just it.
Go ahead.
There's plenty of time to prepare for these things. I'm pretty sure they're given more than like an hour to pack their things when they're called and said, hey, you're coming on season 9. Here's your, what do they call it? The dossier.
Yeah.
They're given a list of outfits that they need to have for certain challenges.
Right. I think it's a known thing. I mean, it's happened for so many years now. Everybody just expects when you go on, you're going to do Snatch Game. I think, and this is me completely speaking from my ass because I'm not interested in competing, but if I was, when I put in my audition tape, I'd already have probably 2 characters in mind because you don't know what you're going to walk into, especially to show up. If you get onto the show, you might end up finding out that someone else is going to do one of your 2. And it would probably be best to not pull the whole, well, bitch, this is what I'm doing. You know what I mean? And getting full of yourself and not being willing to, like, you know, change or something of that style. But, I mean, I don't know. It's,
Like, I'm going to go ahead and say this because I feel like it needed to be said. Like what you just mentioned, for one person, Rue literally, they were in the workroom and they were like, who's your character to be? And it's going to be this. And she went through a little joke. She said, tell me a joke. And she went through it. And Rue was like, well, where's the character? Because it was her. Only, well, her. It was her. It was just her. We're going to mention it later, so I kind of don't want to talk too much about it, but it was like, so, and when, to me, when Rue said that, I was like, yeah, you need to rethink everything that you're about to do.
And she went through with it anyway.
Yep.
Well, I think what happens is that people get in their head, like, in this case, this person said for years they've been anticipating and waiting for this. And I think that's just a nail in the coffin. Do you know what I mean? Like, to make that statement, I was like, oh, they are totally. That's why it's in the show. Like, they're just setting you up to either soar or bomb. Like, you don't, there's no in between. Like, they edit the show, they put certain clips in because it's going to tell a story. So either you're going to do an amazing job, and that's going to say, look, when you prepare, this is the end product. This is what you get. Or maybe you really should have done better preparation. I don't know. Like, it just.
Yeah.
Now, I think you hit the nail on the head earlier when you said, you know, this is coming. So why not prepare two characters just in case, like a certain person did. When Rue was doing the walkthrough and they got to her, and Rue said, oh, well, you're doing this character. Well, let me hear a little bit of it. And then you hear crickets throughout the whole thing. I thought for sure she was going to bomb.
Yeah. So
but I'm glad that she didn't.
Yeah. So what about you, Chester? What are your thoughts?
So my thoughts on the whole overall episode, as a whole, most of it was really good. Like, most of the queens' looks were on point. Most of the queens did pretty decently, if not great, in Snatch Game. There were a few that had their hiccups in both categories, the runway and Snatch Game. Collectively, though, I think the feedback that people were receiving was all pretty positive, except for, you know, those the two that were obviously in the bottom two. Everybody else's was kind of like just one little hint of a critique, and then they moved on to the next person. So I'm sure that we're going to be talking about this in a little bit. It just kind of helps me realize that the competition is starting to break apart from each other.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I hear you there, for sure.
That's all I got.
Nice.
All right. Are we ready to go into our next segment then?
Sure.
Okay. All right, Untucked. We're jumping right into it. Damon, why don't you lead us off? What did you think about Untucked this week?
So a couple of things. Farrah pretty much said what we were thinking, which, okay, so if you remember last week's Untucked where, excuse me, sorry, where Alexis brought everyone together and we thought there was going to be this really inspirational moment. And then she went and started like, why the fuck did you guys help me? I help you guys. Wah, wah, wah. And Farrah pretty much said what we were thinking, like, I just want to go prepare myself for my lip sync for my life, and why are you bringing me all this? So that was my big thing that I kind of really liked, is that the girls are paying attention and they know like some of the shade that's going on, even though we've been talking about how they're sisters and whatnot. And after everything that happened with Eureka, you know, we kind of still felt that way, but no, they know what's going on. They have an idea. They know that this is still the competition. And they're like, I want to prepare myself. I want to get ready. So there's that. The second one is just meant for more comedic effects than anything else. Jim and I, we've been watching, we watch RuPaul pretty regularly, but we don't always watch Untucked. Since I was preparing for the episode, he was here with me, so we watched Untucked together. So this is his first time seeing the Untucked format. So it's kind of like, oh, this is really nice. It's kind of interesting. But he was looking at one person in particular, and he was like, she looks like a cartoon character. And I'll go ahead and tell you, it's Aja. And the main reason was for one reason that paused the feed, and it was Aja's face, and you saw her really, really bright nose contour, her overdrawn lips, and her mouth was open, and she kind of had a buck tooth. And he was like, she looks like a cartoon character. She doesn't look real. She looks like straight up like a cartoon character. And I just thought it was hilarious and wanted to share that. So, haha. I'll get to more on that later.
So things that I noticed, when Farrah, Nina, and Aja walked into the pink room. Is that what it's called this time? What is it called this time? Have they even said it?
I don't think they've given it a name.
Anyway, when they walk backstage, all three of them are like, oh man, I'm safe again this week. I don't want to be safe. I'm tired of being safe. Well, step up your game.
Yeah, that's a really true thing. Like Trinity was one of the ones that's really, really tired of being safe. And I get that in a sense, but you know, you have to really, really succeed, or you have to really, really bomb. And unfortunately, that's just the way the game is played. So every week, there's going to be someone that's going to be safe. Like, we know that for a fact. There are the numbers. They can't have everyone on stage and give critiques. That's just not.
The thing is the competition has gotten to the point where it's getting really small, and safe is not cutting it. You have to bring your game at this point.
Well,
that's why.
Go ahead.
That's why the Snatch Game episode is a pivotal episode in the season, because that really shows who's paying attention and who needs to work on their shit. Now, I know Aja has come a long way since first episode, particularly with her makeup, but she still needs a lot of work.
Well,
if you put side by side pictures of her first episode with Friday nights, there's a clear difference.
Okay. We'll have to agree to disagree on that one. But that's just me.
I'm not saying it's great. I'm just saying it's an improvement.
Gary?
I kind of agree with Chester that it's improved. It's just not spectacular per se.
There's still room for improvement.
Oh, I have.
Anyways,
no doubt about that.
So my thoughts on Untucked. I personally think the real show is online. I now feel that I'm going through watching the regular show just so I can watch Untucked. Because Untucked doesn't make sense unless I see the regular show. And the regular show didn't really move me one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
But Untucked had me riveted.
Mm.
So I just, there was a lot of stuff happening in Untucked this week.
Yeah.
In comparison to the regular show, it was like, you know.
Which is surprising considering it was Snatch Game. But maybe that's why. It's familiar. We know Snatch Game's always coming. And they ended up, for this episode, they brought back the Night of 1,000 Madonnas again. So we've kind of gone through it before. We remember no more kimonos. I'm so glad RuPaul said that in the episode. No idea. But yeah, I think that's maybe that's part of it, is that for in this episode in particular, it was a rehash of stuff we already know. We know Snatch Game. We know they're going to bring characters. We know they're going to, or, you know, they're going to do impersonations. Therefore, it's either going to be a hit or a miss, really, honestly. Like, either they're going to do really well or they're not. Like, that's just the way that kind of competition goes. And with Night of 1,000 Madonnas, we've already seen it before. We know everyone loves Madonna's iconic looks. There are tons of looks out there. We still had a couple of repeats.
Yeah, so how about Chester and I? Like, now we're going to spill a little tea. When we were in Cleveland this past weekend, Chester and I actually watched the episode on my iTunes because I already had it. So we watched the episode while you went to a workshop session in his room. And both of us were gagged when back to back in the edit, they put the two sets of two competitors wearing nearly identical looks.
Yes.
I was fucking shocked as shit. I could not believe that four queens in pairs were basically doing the same thing. All I kept thinking is they are going to get read and ripped to shreds by Michelle and probably Rue. And then it didn't really happen. I was confused. But
well, the thing is with the kimono episode, or with the first time they did the Madonna looks, kimono just seems to be the easy route to go.
True that, yo.
I was totally expecting somebody to come out in, what is it, 16th century garb from the Vogue live video from, like, what, 1992 or whenever it was?
Yeah.
I was totally expecting that. So when no one came out wearing it, I was like, oh, okay. So it wasn't... I was shocked at the sheer statistics of it all. Like, how are these two people going to take that particular outfit that many people might not know? Because it's not like it was in a video. It was like some red carpet look.
Yeah. It was the Met Gala look.
Yeah.
So just so you so
people pay attention to that.
So just so people realize, we're talking about Trinity and Nina. And yeah. Sometimes Michelle needs to do, at least for the cameras, is get that look. And we all know her look when, like, she's not pleased.
When she's not pleased.
Yeah. And we saw that a couple of times. When we saw the two similar looks come out at the same, you know, one after the other, either that was how it actually happened or that was how it was edited. Don't know. Don't care. The Met Gala one was interesting to me because of, well, actually both were interesting to me because they kind of compare them side by side and they said some things about them that made sense to me. Like, they kind of said, you know, one was a little bit more put together, one was a little bit more glamorous, or one seemed a little bit more, or less detailed. It was interesting to see that. And then when you, at least from an editing standpoint, you had them one right after the other, right after the other, after the other, it was like, yeah, that can really, really be, that could really suck. If that's how it actually happened, which I really doubt it did, it would be really awful. And that's one of those things where I'm going through my head and I tell myself this every time I've seen like something like this, I go, where was your second choice?
Yeah.
Like, in my head, I go, if I were, say, Nina, and I saw that Trinity had this very well put together look that I'm literally sitting here looking at myself, I would have been like, I need to find something else. I need to do something else.
In all fairness, they probably only had one Madonna look, and they probably only got so many extra sets of clothes.
Gary is shaking his head.
Well, the reason why I'm shaking my head is because you already got your dossier, whatever, your document that tells you what you need to prepare. You were told to bring a Madonna look. You seriously right. can't tell me that all those queens brought one Madonna look a piece. Like, to me, that's insane. You already know the scandal of the kimono shit from season 8. How could you not bring two automatically? Now, to be fair, I don't know if it's in Untucked or in the episode or in a web clip I saw, but somewhere in the midst of that, there is a little bit of a thing between Peppermint and and I just blanked.
Shay
about the Material Girl look. And Peppermint, I think, maybe it's in the show, she's saying to camera about how she's going to look better. Or Shay's going to say that. I think it's Shay that says that. And this is what I mean when I say they get in their head and they're just kind of like, it's like almost like it's a challenge. Like, they're not going to back down. And I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand what's happening here. Like, you know, I get that you think you're going to be all that in a bag of chips in this look, but the reality is, if someone else already has it, you should really reconsider whether or not you're going to do it.
To me, it's a matter of you get an instant comparison. Instant. As opposed to, here are all these different Monado looks.
If I were Nina and looked across the room and saw Trinity wearing the same jacket, I would have been like, well, this was a bad idea borrowing my brother's shirt.
Yeah.
So I would have. It's really funny. So I'm going to spill tea on this. The Trinity Nina thing, looking back and watching it again last night, for me, this is going to sound really weird. I really wish Trinity had picked something else and had given her wig to Trinity. Nina had given her hair to Trinity because Trinity was getting read a little bit about her hair and how it was too long. So I actually like rewound and then freeze framed the side by side with the Madonna Met Gala look and realized that actually Madonna's hair looks like, and I'm blanking on the character's name, but it's the Uma Thurman character from Pulp Fiction. That's what that hair looked like. And I realized that Nina's was actually more like that than Trinity's was. So it's so weird to me to say this, but I'm like, you know, they've all sort of been borrowing or helping and, you know, more than we know of any other season.
Yeah.
And so my thought was like, if Nina had another outfit, like she could have done another thing and then, you know, handed her hair off and been like, you can use this if you want or not. You know what I mean? Like, it's up to you. Yeah. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but so yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm also disappointed in the production when they were doing the side by sides of the original Madonna look versus what the Queen was presenting as a competitor. I was really pissy that the Material Girl shots were freeze frames of a music video, and that they looked bad.
And not stills.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was so confused. I'm like, really? Really? You couldn't have paid an intern to sit for 4 fucking hours and search Google and every other God-blessed Bing, whatever search engine for... I was just so confused. I was like, these look kind of really crappy. No offense. Yeah. And maybe that was intentional. don't know. I just was a little confused by it. So I did, that was just the only thing that really stuck out to my to me visually watching it. I was like, oh, like I get that it, like the video was made a long time ago and so we didn't have HD and all that crap, but come on, like that just that looks bad.
Yeah.
So because they weren't like even full body shot. I mean, there was just something strange about them. So I don't know what was going on with that when they it's almost like it was an afterthought to get those graphics.
Those images.
Yeah, to pop in. And I find that disappointing because it's like, it's Madonna. Seriously? Like,
yeah.
She's the one that you haven't had on the show yet. You know what I mean? Like you got Gaga this season. So, you know, we just need to step up the game. Let's get Madonna. Let's get Cher. Let's get Bette Midler. Let's get Babs. I mean, it's like you can just keep working your way up the ladder for all the divas of the gay kingdom, and you'll probably see multi-million eyeballs, you know, popping in to see that show. But anyways, so for me, in Untucked, I think the real show is online. I mean, from the top of the show, Shay and Aja go on this whole thing and lay down an education on edges.
Yes.
And yeah, I will say I knew nothing about this. I was completely with Trinity that she was lost. She was confused. I didn't know what was happening. I was like, oh, girl, like you're not looking really good right now. And neither would I because you can't pull that off. Like either you know it or you don't. And I loved that Shay. I also loved that Shay was like, all right, y'all hold on for a moment. I have got to take my hair off and loosen this duct tape. Yeah, yes. She's like, I've got a splitting headache. And I was like, what? And then she goes, you know, she takes that really beautiful platinum blonde, you know, bombshell hair off. And I'm like, oh, damn. Like, she done, like, run tape all around her head and is just like, and I was like, yeah, now I get it. I see, you know. So no, but you know, and then her and Aja are talking about it and all. I don't know. There was so much about the episode that I loved. Valentina, oh my god! In Untucked, she's killing me. She's planking like backwards on her back and just laying there with the two sensor bars across her body. And they're like, "How do you feel?" And she's like, "Cold." I'm just like. They eventually get her a robe. I mean, like, and then she starts talking, like, they're all kind of talking shit about Trinity. She's like, you know, Trinity's mean and rude and cold, but she's really nice. I mean, she's like, it was just so funny to me. I was like, honestly, this episode so far is the one where I was like, oh, man, I wish I had been there just as a crew member, like as an intern, something, you know, to be like, you know, do you need some water? Like anything just to witness them, you know, keying it up because they really were. I mean, and not in a crazy hysterical way. I mean, there are some moments in these Untucks, but yeah, I was just like, this is the real show because this isn't really kind of manufactured. I don't know how else to say it. Like the cameras just roll and they, you know, and they talk and they kibitz and they go back and forth, you know, and they, like we talked about before when Shay has the moment with Nina and she totally gets in her face and goes all like, you know, to church on her ass and is like, you listen to me for a moment. Like, and you know, and she really gives her this big pep talk. And then in this episode, it cracks me up because as Shay turns around, she tells Nina, she's like, I'm done with you. Just so you know, like, I'm going to
beat your fucking ass. Yes,
I loved it. She was like,
"Yourself again, I'm gonna beat your fucking ass." And I was like, "Yep,
Shay, keep it at 100, like no doubt about it." And it kills me to no end because then she's like, and then they're like going back and forth, and she's like, "Here, I'm gonna give you a kiss." She's like, "Oh, did you fuck up my hair?" She's like, "I see what you." She's like, "I'm gonna sue you. I'm gonna take your ass to court." Yes. I mean, they were just, and I thought, oh, some people watching this might not understand. Like, they're just cutting it up. They're just being funny, like they're just blowing off steam. It is not drama.
It's not just serious.
Yeah, it's just funny to witness. So I honestly think that the real show is online. I think you have to watch Untucked. If you're not, you're missing out on a huge, like, open window, open door into them as persons. You know, just that kind of stuff. So for me, Untucked this week was pivotal. for in terms of entertainment, because I don't know what to say. I was like, nah, it was okay. I mean, other than being gagged because people decided to compete against each other on outfits. I'm just going to kind of shut up about that. Yeah. Are we ready to move on to the next topic? All right. Mr. Chester. So takeaways, what's yours?
I kind of already covered this a little bit, but I don't know. I guess I just want to drive the point home that there's no middle of the road left. Well, mm-hmm. there still is. No, I still think that there's a few people in the bottom and that we are starting to see the tops emerge. But that gap of who is in that safe spot is getting really thin.
Yeah.
I agree with you. When you had made the comment about like that it's getting narrower and narrower, not exactly yet. I've looked online and I've tried really hard to check, and as much as I can tell, there are 14 episodes this season. So this week, we're recording on Thursday night. Friday night is episode 7, which is the halfway mark, and presumably we'll go from 9 queens down to 8. So we'll have, in essence, come pretty close to halfway in the contestants. So, like, we're getting headway. But I think what you're saying is, you know, either you're showing up in one of two parts.
Right.
You know.
And I think that the – so I said that, you know, that's getting narrow. The middle of the road is getting narrow. I think that there are clear people – who are going to be on the top, and there are clear people who are in the bottom, but they are not next to each other, if that makes sense.
No, that makes sense. I get what you mean there. That's kind of what I feel. There are some people who are...
You're either really good or you're really bad.
Yeah.
But you're passable at the moment.
Yeah. Like, it's one of those things where... Well, like we said, this is kind of a pivotal episode. Snatch Game is one of those things that everyone knows is coming again. Therefore, it shows how good you are at planning, how good you are at being on the fly, your improv skills, your ability to come up with something fun and original and keeping it light, but not being too terrible. That's why I think that Sasha's who does she play? Marlena Dietrich was so good because it was polished. She knew exactly how to deliver the line. She wasn't necessarily funny, haha, like I'm bowling over with laughter, but the way that she delivered the lines and the way that she presented the character, that's what made it enjoyable. She was able to think of things to go with it that work really well. Whereas when I saw her in the workroom, I was a little concerned.
Right.
But again, like you said, that's what shows up for me. That's what puts people in the top for me. It's like, you know what you're doing. You know what the competition is, where we're at in the competition. So you're starting to shine a lot more than you were in the beginning. You're starting to rise up. And those, therefore, that we would consider bottom are starting to lose their luster. Like, oh, you're okay. You haven't really done anything to impress me yet. And unfortunately, where we are now in the competition, it's going to take a lot for you to jump from here to here.
Right. Gary, how about you? What are your takeaways?
All right. I think this is the general rule for this show, this whole competition, but this episode kind of reinforced it. Have a plan, keep it simple, and perfect it. And Snatch Game is really what that came down to. Did you have a plan? I think all of them had a plan. Some of them had a very concrete plan. Some of them had a plan made out of sticks.
Yeah.
Or cardboard.
Or cardboard, right? keep it simple. The people that really stood out to me, like, that blew me away, didn't put a whole lot of work into what they were doing, which I know sounds weird, but they didn't exactly rely on cliche, and they improvised very well in the moment. Some of the most outstanding things in Snatch Game history have been back and forth banter or something that ties on to something else.
Yeah.
Peppermint tries to do it as NeNe Leakes.
No.
No, girl. No.
No. So
not,
for
not your forte.
Yeah. So, for example, why don't you come up and fuck me in the ass sometimes? That line that Alaska did from it was awesome. It was perfect. Laugh out loud. I'm done. Like, dead. It was amazing. And the reason it was amazing, I don't know if she had that in her head, like planned that line ahead of time or not. Either way, it blew my mind. Killed. It was perfect. Yeah. God.
Yeah. So, and then perfecting it, the third thing, perfecting it is about knowing what to do, when to do it. Like, and not so formulaic, like you have a series of cards and you just need to figure out which one to play when. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's part of it, I think. Like, if you're crafting an impression of somebody, but more importantly, how to get the right golden moment, because the camera's going to catch it and you've got two celebrities and Rue is your MC host. Yeah. So if you can make the two celebrities laugh, and even better if you can make Rue laugh, even better if you can crack up the other contestants, like, all you're doing is just floating to the top.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's where the perfecting comes in. Thinking about this character, what are their catchphrases? What are they known for? Like, seriously doing a, oh, hell's bells. Damon, what is it when you, in theater, it's not method acting, but you put together, dang it, my vocabulary is totally, like, gone out the window. There's a thing where you do a character breakdown. That's not the right thing, but
you
basically research the fuck out of this person and catch everything about them, their nuances, like, and all that stuff, so you can help embody them later.
Mm-hmm.
And notably in the show, like, Michelle points out, and Rue are kind of talking a little bit, maybe it's Rue that says, like, or at least I think it was in the show, there's a reference to how some of the best Snatch Game personalities were not right. Meaning you were not impersonating this person. You were doing something, but what was more hysterical was how screwed up your version was.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing. So, like, what was it? Yada Sovia doing, Amy Winehouse.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, just so crazy off the wall. You were just like, what in the hell is going on? Like, this isn't even close, but funny as hell. Like, so I think that's one of the things, like, that's what I mean by perfect it. Like, kind of, like, be able to hone in and know exactly what that thing is. So for me, the takeaway is, and it's the same thing with the whole rest of the show. Have a plan. So look through the list, the dossier, make sure that you got down some ideas as to what's coming, what to do. Granted, you can't figure it all out. Keep it simple. Don't overthink it and don't go crazy. Like, if anything, we've heard every single season, invariably the judges tell some of the contestants to edit.
Yep.
Take something off, do less, cut back the makeup. Like, I mean, it doesn't, like, you know, it's like, it's just too much. And then, yeah, perfect it. Like, I think those that are rising to the top, I don't know how else to say it, for the most part, not all of them, but for the most part, have a lot of experience, and that experience gives you a confidence, gives you comfort, and just carries you forward past these initial episodes where, like, you know, we're kind of sifting, you know, the layers, so to speak.
Funny,
Chester,
that you mentioned the confidence, because Sasha in Untucked, she sits down and she talks about, I wasn't really sure if I was going to pull this off. And she's talking about her confidence level and it being shaken. And everybody else is like, what? What are you talking about? You look amazing right now. It's perfect. And she's like, yep. And I'm not going to self-doubt my, or I'm not going to give myself any more self-doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very, I totally agree with you, Gary, that the idea behind planning it and perfecting it, especially, I was more than a little concerned with Alexis doing Liza. I was really concerned. That is a gay icon for like everybody. Everyone knows some of the things she does. They know like some of her quirks, and we know her history, and we know, you know, Judy Garland, and we know all of this stuff. Therefore, Chester.
I don't know anything about her. I just know it's Liza with a Z. That's the only thing I know.
But anyway, so like we know a lot of people know a lot about her, except Chester, apparently. Anyway.
I earned my gay card anyways.
You have to nail that shit. Because everyone in the room, except Chester apparently, is going to like criticize everything that you do with that character. And she nailed it. Like everything that she did, all the little things she did, all the little nuancy things, they said that she really embodied her. And I couldn't agree more.
Well, it all comes down to knowing those little tiny tidbits of that person. Like when Alexis is doing Liza, she did this thing with her voice where it sounded like she was talking through her cheeks.
Yeah.
Or she did that. I think it was Ross Matthews pointed out the way that she breathes in.
Yeah. After
she says something, the little kicks that she was doing. I know Liza Minnelli is a stage performer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, but it reminds me of when, Chad Michaels did Cher during Snatch Game. We all know Chad does a really great Cher, but the fact that the bitch went underneath, took off her wig, and came back up as a different Cher character, that's what made it so perfect.
Yeah. Agree. Like that, those things that you, those plans, like you don't, I don't think Chad probably said, I think I'm going to throw all these looks under my chair and I'm just going to randomly do it. No, she probably planned that shit. Like you can't just like, oh, here, I'm going to do this and throw this on and do that. No, you probably had, I'm going to do this. And then at this point, I'm going to change here. And then this, I'm going to change here. And it just, I mean, yeah, planning it really, really helped and perfecting it. Cause I know she, if she, he knows chair, it really, really helped. It really always will help that the things that you do and the way that you do it will always drive you forward and put you on the top for me. I have a couple of things to say about it later and that I'll get to at closing thoughts. So, yeah.
Does that mean we're moving on?
Oh, to me. Shit. Sorry, I forgot. Well, mine's really simple, and we've kind of gone over it. Don't fuck it up. I'm throwing that real outline out there because that is really at this stage of the game, knowing that this is something that is going to is coming up on the show. Come up with an idea. Come up with a backup. Always. Because one, you never know when someone else is going to do the same character you're going to do. You don't know who's going to be on the show, therefore, you know. And then I say commit only because what I feel happened with some people on the show is they let that either what Bruce said or what someone was saying in a workroom or something else that shook them a bit. One person in particular, Cynthia, I'm just going to go ahead and put it out there, really should have listened to Rue and really should have either took some time and came up with some different suggestions and some ideas to commit to the character. There were so many things she could have done that I feel she either chose not to or just couldn't do. And that's unfortunate. Save for me and Peppermint and NeNe Leakes' character is NeNe Leakes is funny. Like, so funny. She wouldn't be on TV. She wouldn't be the personality she is if she didn't have, honestly, the humor and whatnot that she had for, you know, when she was on Housewives and from then on. She has a style of doing things. She has a method of, a way of saying things that just make it funny. I don't think you committed to that. And that's why it didn't land. Farrah's GG or whatever her name is, who I don't know who the fuck that is. And yeah, whatever, you know, like I wouldn't, I still don't know who it is. And based on what I saw, I don't really care to, that's you know,
I don't know who Liza Minnelli is.
So it's like one of those things where like, if you're going to do it, you have to be over the top. And if you crash and burn, so be it. But at least you committed to it. So don't fuck it up. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can't disagree. Actually, that's not true. I'm not going to disagree. Because I'm right there with you. Are we ready to move to the next section?
Sure thing.
Alrighty then.
Gentlemen, start your engines and may the best woman win.
All right. Snaps and eye rolls or hits and misses. For me, snaps. One standout person who I've kind of been a little bit pining for, even though I gave him a lot of shit at the beginning of the season. Valentina's Miss Colombia. Funniest shit ever. Granted, she only had two funny lines, like two jokes, but blew my fucking mind that she brought this crazy, weird ass, esoteric, unexpected character. I'm like, what is she doing? And then she landed her two things, and I was like, oh my God. Fucking genius. Fucking genius.
Yeah.
Let's take a pop culture reference, not a celebrity, and input them in this crazy situation, and then have the character react to what's happening. I was like, wow. Like, she might not have done well outside of the two good things that they showed, but that doesn't matter to me. That was so creatively different. So I have to give her snaps for that. I thought that was amazing. These aren't really snaps, but I do want to also recognize, I thought that Sasha Velour was fucking amazing as Marlena Dietrich, and I'm so happy that she did it.
Yeah.
I thought that was just like, great, 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 great.
Yeah.
I'll be on the same thing. Since it's still Valentina, her fucking runway.
God, that was amazing.
Yes.
I have to say, in 11 fucking seasons, 9 plus 2 All-Stars, has to be one of the top 3 or 5 runways ever.
Yeah.
Cannot get over the balls it took that she shoved up in her body to walk out in full bronzer and a wig and lashes and those two sensor boards and nothing else. Well, that's not true. She had a cigarette in her one hand,
purse.
I think.
Yeah, in a purse.
And a purse, which she got critiqued online by somebody else that, and technically in the photo, I think Madonna didn't have a purse in her hand. Whatever. It doesn't matter. The point is, never in a million years. There's only one other queen that I ever thought would try to pull that off, and that's Detox. But that's just because she uses her body like that. I was just... I mean, Chester and I were watching, and I just could not believe my eyes.
Both of us were like, what?
It was a really genius look. It was something that, I mean, she pulled off tremendously well. And that's, I think, what made it soar, was that the simplicity of it, like, oh, here's some censor boxes, and like you said, a cigarette and a wig, or a blonde wig.
Gary, awesome. Are you the one who said that she's a dark, well, you said black horse, but is that who you were talking about, was Valentina?
Yes, because I know that I gave her shit for the first couple of episodes that I'm not buying this 10-month drag experience, right, like background thing. I still think there's something that we're missing. I just don't know what it is, and I'm not saying that she's lying. It's like I'm putting together a puzzle, and there's like a whole section or a really big piece, and I haven't figured out for myself what it is about her and her background, but she is pretty much becoming the complete package.
Right.
She has a body. She has the looks. She does makeup really well. She can put outfits together.
She has the creativity. She has this cool-headedness. Like what you said at the very beginning of the show when you were talking about Untucked, she walks into the room and she's like, Valentina, how are you feeling? Cold.
Yeah.
She is epitomizing the four tenets: charisma, uniqueness, nerve, mm-hmm, and talent. And I'm like, y'all best get ready. Yeah. I don't know if she's going to win, but she's already a winner. Like, she's got a career. And I, you know, I mean, it's just, it's crazy to me. So I give her all the snaps right now, because her Columbia was some of the craziest shit I'd seen in I don't know how long. I was just like, what the fuck is this? And I was like really genius. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. Don't get me wrong. Alexis's Liza was really, really good. And deservedly so, she won. I know people have issues and they think that Sasha should have won. Maybe some people feel Valentina should have won, but I think storyline-wise, it was expected that Alexis was going to win. I mean, hell, even Aja makes the comment about, like, if Alexis doesn't win, we're all going to pay the price.
Yeah.
Because she said something about she's going to pull a chainsaw out from underneath that gown and just start murdering people on the runway or whatever, which I thought was really hysterical. So, but yeah, she, you know, was kind of set up. I'm very concerned, though, because this kind of happens in the show history. Someone who really wants to win wins, and then that's it. Like, yeah. And then they get
their peak,
right? They go high and then they just crash and then they're gone. And I don't, and I feel really bad because I like her so much. Mm-hmm. Even though she is an admittedly Jewish princess, and I don't have anything wrong with Jewish princesses, but it's one of those things about, like, she's almost sort of living up to a characterization or a stereotype. So I'm kind of feeling a little iffy about that. I'm glad you mentioned earlier about the Untucked, you know, piece where Farrah calls out what we were all like bitching about previously, that Alexis was like, no, sit your ass down and listen to me. And I was like, oh, hell no. Like, so I'm glad that Farrah kind of like vented, you know, outside when they were smoking about that. Cause I was like, good. Like, it shows a little bit more character and backbone out of Farrah, that she decided to do what was probably best, which was to just sit there for a while instead of making a big scene and making more drama out of the moment. So, yeah. Anyways, moving on. Eye rolls. Oh, girl. I don't know how to say this because I feel bad about it, but Peppermint, your Nini was absolutely a no-no. Like, it was bad. Like, as much as Cynthia really screwed up hers with Sophia and a little bit with her runway, I don't know what to say. She's been doing so well, and I've been wanting her to do really well, but it was like a weird misstep. And so it's concerning me because I'm like, is this your storyline? Like, is this your arc? Like, that you're doing pretty good, really good, and then you kind of like have this weird whoop, and then like you pick yourself up and you keep going. You know, she came out as trans in this episode. That was huge. The girls are really supportive, you know. So it's like, it's just such a mixed message of what's happening. And her Nini was just, it was miserable. Yeah. Like, as much as I know people hated Cynthia's Sophia, I at least saw what she was trying to do. I felt just, it was like, oh, Pep, what's going on? Like, you were crashing and literally burning in front of us on the camera.
The issues for me with her was that she was trying to deliver these lines and she wasn't really doing a really good job. She wasn't doing a great job of it. Wasn't doing a good job. She was doing a terrible job, really. But she was, I get what she was trying to go for, but it wasn't working. And she would, you know, trip over words and stumble on lines and it just ended up becoming this one note thing. Whereas we know, we've seen Nini, she's just over the top, all over the board kind of thing. It just sucked.
Do you guys remember the morning television show? What is it, episode 4?
Good morning, bitches.
Good morning, bitches. Yes. Was she one of the hosts?
Yes.
Peppermint?
Yeah.
Okay. So if I remember correctly, she was saying her lines and she would flub them up, but she would at least try and get through them.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about this when I was watching her Snatch Game and how terrible her Nini was. And I'm thinking, you know, we haven't done any commercial challenges yet, and they're going to be coming up. I don't think she's going to make it through.
I think her problem is that she's going with the old theater adage of keep going. If you don't say the exact words, you try to say something so that you at least get the line out. But unfortunately for her, the way that she's saying it, she's trying to say something and she goes back and says it again. And then it just keeps steamrolling or, you know, barreling down. It never quite lands. And by the time she gets to where she needs to get to make the joke, we're past, we're done.
Right. I think it's almost like she didn't rehearse. Like, she didn't really practice rehearsing ahead of time some of these thoughts or ideas that she had with that particular character. I also feel like, some people, okay, so like here's the one thing we sort of discussed, and I think we might have a difference of opinion, but like it seemed like to me, a lot of people were like really super pissy about when Charlie and the lip sync thing.
Yeah.
And my feeling on it is like, if you have a wheelhouse and you're doing something that isn't your wheelhouse, I get why you might kind of really pull back or shut down or whatever. And I kind of feel like that's what happened with Peppermint here, because I think because she said, I don't do impressions, I've never done an impression except for Britney Spears like a week ago, but that was more choreography than everything. I get it. And I think that's part of the issue was like, I think she's probably great on stage, on a microphone, emceeing, lip syncing, dancing. Like, she might have some things that are really in her wheelhouse, but this one thing isn't it. And the thing that I'm concerned about is, you know, most of the time when a competitor comes on and thinks to themselves, I just need to get through this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no, you don't need to just get through this. You need to really do it.
Yeah.
Like I just need to get through the sewing challenge. No, girl, you have to sew.
Yeah.
Like, I just need to get through the commercial challenge of promoting a product. No, girl, you have to be able to promote a product. Like I don't know how else to say it. Like you can half-ass it, but when you half-ass it, it hurts. Like, and it doesn't necessarily go well. So I think that's really, I don't know, I don't mean to take up so much time, but I just really think it's what happened with Peppermint, you know, that she had an idea and she thought, and the thing that I think is worse for her is everyone, I think, is in agreement that Nini was a great person to pick. and then you didn't deliver. And that's probably the more damnifying thing.
Yeah.
Is that you didn't follow through with what you were gonna, what you were supposed to present or expected to present type thing. I don't know. So, yeah. So continuing on, Damon, what are your snaps and eye rolls?
So, I have two snaps. My first snaps are to Alexis's breathless Mahoney look. It was very put together. It was a great dress. The dress looked really well on her. It was a character I didn't think of until she came out on stage. I was like, oh, that looks really great. So it was one of those ones, like, we know Madonna's iconic looks. We know, like, the Vogue and the Combs, and we know Material Girl. We know, you know, some of her other ones, the kimono. So, sorry, we know that one. And for her to go that route with it, awesome, because it looked really good. So that's my first one. My other one is kind of a side joke to the passing, quote unquote, of Eureka. In the Untucked episode, they started, and one of the first things you see is the chair that she has broken, and on it, it has a memory of Eureka. And I thought that was so cute, and it's very delightful. So I give my snaps to that because it was just a great little tribute and idea behind it, and I just love that.
It says to me, Damon, that's how much of an impression Eureka made on them,
mm-hmm.
that they bothered to actually spend money to make something. You know what I mean? Like, because no offense, they don't have to do that for nobody.
Exactly.
So the fact that they did that, I mean, I cracked my ass up when that came up on the screen and it was black and white and it says the memory of Eureka. I was like, oh, hell no. I was like, she probably done fall off her chair or whatever she was sitting on if she saw that for the beginning of Untucked like that. Because I doubt very highly she knew about it, you know, until it came on air. I agree. That was fun.
So my eye rolls, unfortunately, go to Aja again. And this time it's for her runway look. How do I put it bluntly? It didn't fit. It was basic. And with that, with the makeup I've already talked about, with the really pronounced, like, highlight on the nose and your overdrawn lips and everything else, and that hair, it just didn't work. And given what we saw of everyone else, even to me, Cynthia's look was better than hers. Cynthia at least kind of went with this sort of matador kind of thing. We've seen it, you know, Madonna kind of thing before. And it just felt flat for me. It didn't fit on the chest. She didn't have boobs. And I know I've talked about this before. Like, I like to see figures on drag queens. It's just a personal choice. And for these girls to start, like, not wearing any shaping or giving themselves any kind of feminine silhouette kind of sucks to me. And in that dress in particular, because she was wearing the bolero jacket and because it had the cuts the way it is, she needed something up here to fill it out.
Yeah, I agree with you. Of all the Madonna outfits, Aja's was really not good. Like, I got immediately when I saw it what it was from.
Yeah.
But it was ill-fitting.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, to quote Raven and Naomi Smalls, boot. It's a boot. Like, yeah, no, sorry, girl. No. Nope.
Yeah, it just didn't work for me. Chester? Chester?
Oh, I was waiting for you to finish.
I'm good.
Okay, so my snaps are for the attention to detail that Cynthia put into her runway. So when she comes out on the runway, you see her do try and take her cape off, but she falls. That's because that's what happened to Madonna wearing that same outfit.
Oh.
Right. So Damon and I are watching the show, right, side by side. We're already gagged from the double, like, Chester, outfit bullshit. Sorry, Chester and I. And I'm so excited about this because – and then fucking Valentina, like, does the sex book, like, nude censored thing. And then Cynthia comes out and she fucking falls down and I'm like – and both of us, I think we were like, wait, was that an accident? Was that intentional? Like, what the hell just happened? And, like, nobody says anything. And it isn't until later, if you watch, I think it's the photo review, Chester, when they have that discussion about her falling down. Because I don't think it's an it's an Untucked. But here's the interesting thing is I already went, prior to watching that, I went online to find video of the Brit Awards when Madonna is performing and she falls, because it was, like, you know, around the globe news that she took a dive during a live performance. And she, like, and then all of a sudden it all, like, click, it all came into place. And I was like, oh my God, sort of genius. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it was.
Good for her.
Yeah, you're right. When we were watching that and we're both sitting there like, did she do that on purpose? Because it didn't look like it. It looked like it was an accident. Like, she stepped on it and she tripped. But it wasn't until she came back and she held it up and she, like, pointed at it like, no, and, like, threw it forward.
Yeah.
That I was like, I think maybe she may have done that on purpose. So, yeah, I did the same thing. I went looking for that particular outfit because somebody, I think it was on the Untucked episode, somebody said that it wasn't quite right. There were too many changes to it. So then I went and looked it up, and that's where I found the video of Madonna getting pulled down the steps because her robe didn't tear off like it was supposed to. But, yeah, that... It's those attention to details that make impersonations important, or, you know, that will make or break you doing an impersonation.
Yeah.
I will say this. While the malfunction was good, I do have to agree with the criticism that she didn't have the right shape for the outfit.
Yeah.
Like, the outfit fit her. It was tailored. But it really read that she's a boy.
For a boy.
Yeah, and that was very disappointing. Like, the more, especially since I went back and watched the show twice, and that I was like, the second time around I saw the beard that Michelle was talking about, which only for me showed up on the runway. Those lights made that happen. And then she didn't have hips. Hips and a button boobs.
Did you,
like,
catch
it just
during Untucked that two people were talking about Alexis making a comment to Cynthia about you need to contour more?
Yeah, so it happens every single season. Mm-hmm. It seems like one of the queens is the Black Widow, or whatever you want to call it, the one that's dark, poisonous, and is, you know, shit stirring and causing problems for other people. And in this case, there's a reference to Alexis screwing over Cynthia. So I don't know.
So my eye rolls. Oh, go on.
No, I was just going to ask you what your eye roll was. Is.
Also for Cynthia, because that Sofia Vergara was just awful. All she had to do was go out there and make funny one-liner jokes. Instead, she would go off on these, like, small little stories that didn't make any sense. And there was one part where she tried to interact with Valentina doing this Columbia. And I didn't understand what the hell she was talking about.
Yeah. That was not even a joke that didn't land. That was, like, something that wouldn't have been anything. The only reason that it could have worked is because, you know, Sophia says she's from Colombia, and this is Miss Colombia. Like if you had, I felt really bad for Cynthia. I thought it was a great idea in theory. It would have been right in her wheelhouse. It's Sophia Vergara who speaks Spanish and is a funny Latina, sassy Latina woman. It could have gone really well. And I think a lot of her choices from, like, and they talk about it. Her dress was not enough. She needed, hate to say it, she needed more boob. Like Sophia Vergara is known for her rack and being this really beautiful woman, and just it. She could have gone that route, and I just feel that she didn't, and that's part of it. What that failed for me is the look didn't work. The accent didn't work, and the portrayal didn't work, and then you weren't funny.
Yeah, I feel so bad for Cynthia. I feel like she was cornered into doing Sophia. Like, yeah, I know she said, you know, she's been waiting 2 years to do this and this and that. But then I was like, but you didn't even do it. I was like, what the hell happened? Like, and I was listening to another podcast that actually recaps RuPaul's Drag Race. The most interesting thing was there was a comment about another possibility would have been for her to do Charo.
That probably made more sense.
I don't know about that. Like, I think she might have still had the same problem, that it was...
It would have still been too cuckoo?
It would have been so obvious and not done well. I don't know how else to say it. I think something was going on with Cynthia that she just wasn't there.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I think...
I don't know.
Okay. I'm going to throw something out there. And it's something that I've noticed, especially about her this season and last season. I know English doesn't appear to be her first language. We kind of have... So I'm wondering if the humor isn't there because she's doing everything in English.
That shouldn't matter.
Well,
look at the Good Morning show that she did, and she says things like intolerant lactose, because that shit's funny.
Yeah, and I get that, but that was her being her. Like, kind of, you know, in a sense. Like, yeah, she was reading a teleprompter, but when it comes to impressions, impersonations, and jokes that she has to come up on her own, I sometimes think she, unless it's her, I don't think it's working.
Right.
Maybe that's it. Maybe it's, she has a, Cynthia Lee Fontaine has a very interesting character in herself. Like Cynthia Lee Fontaine, we always talk about cuckoo and we talk about the Spanish and she's always a little crazy and what have you. She's great as herself. But when she's portraying something else, it's not as good. And I think that's part of why she ended up where she ended up.
Yeah. It was obvious to me this was going to be a problem the moment Rue's in the workroom and says, okay, now when are you going to do
Sophie,
however she... Yeah, when she made that comment, I was like, wow, she just Joan of Arc'd your ass.
Yeah.
She totally burned your shit at the stake in one moment. Basically saying, I see no difference between you and who you're supposed to be. And I was like, wow.
Yeah. Okay. That was
this is a problem.
To me, that's one of those moments where I would have been like, I need to come up with something else. Like, pronto. Like, and I don't really, in my head, I don't know what she could have done. I don't know if there could have been something she could have done on the fly, but I wonder who she could have done that would have worked.
We will never know.
True that.
Yeah. Are we ready to move on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so closing thoughts. Damon, what are your closing thoughts?
So, something that someone has mentioned on some of my Facebook posts are, well, actually, it was mentioned in the episode, how do we feel about queens playing other queens? And that's one of my thoughts. Nina Bonita Brown, this episode, shined a little bit for me because of her interpretation of Jasmine Masters. We've seen some stuff online. We know that there are some issues, what have you. There's probably a little bit of drama going on. And I'm on the fence about it. Do I think it's a good idea? Sometimes. If it lands really, really well. But I'm still not 100% convinced about that either. It's one of these things where I'm like, I like the idea behind it, when you're, especially when you're doing something like Snatch Game, but I don't. I was talking to Jim about it. There are some queens that we know that have some very unique personality quirks. They have things that they've said. We all know Shangela's Hallelujah. You know, there are things that we connect with as with a queen performer that's been on the show before. Therefore, is that right for interpretation? Absolutely. It's the same thing that you would be doing if you were doing a famous actor or a singer or what have you. You would be coming up with or putting things that quirks and things that can make them funny. However, I don't think it's good enough. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's low-hanging fruit in some ways. In some ways. Like, it's an easy thing to do, is to make fun of a queen that's been on the show. For example, if someone had this season been Derek Barry from last season, there's something there that you could have done really well. She's a Britney impersonator herself. You could have done something along that route. Would it have been funny? Potentially. But would it have been enough? So those are my kind of, this episode in particular, Snatch Game being what it is, knowing that it's been, you know, a consistent thing for many years, is that something that we want to have the queens commit to? Like, can we make a no former contestant rule?
Well, I know, I'm thinking while you're saying that, Damon, and I'm like, but they did Michelle Visage, and didn't Milk do RuPaul?
I don't remember.
Yes.
On the runway.
Milk did RuPaul as RuPaul Charles. Yes.
But not in Snatch Game, though.
Correct.
So.
Yeah. She did Snatch Game, but she did it on
right.
the runway. Yeah.
I don't know. It's so. I think the problem is they've allowed it, and to now make a rule to change it is more problematic than having not made the rule to begin with.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how else to put it. It's. Aja doing Alyssa Edwards, in my opinion, really wasn't all that bad. I don't know if she wasn't that good and that's why she didn't get more airtime, or, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. But, yeah. I think what you're saying, Damon, is if you're going to do it, you better knock it out of the park.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I think if you are going to go that route, if you're going to do another queen who's been on the show before, then you better fucking do it and commit to it, plan it, and perfect it, as you say. Because it just, it's going to be really, you're I'll put it like this. You're essentially making fun of your grandparents, in a sense. Someone who's been on the show before, a former queen who's been on the show, you're making fun of like someone who has been in your same exact shoes. And is that something that you should be doing?
Mm-hmm.
So those are my closing thoughts.
Let's see. Alexa's coming for you. Provided she doesn't do what we said earlier, and that's hit her peak.
Yeah.
If she's not hit her peak and she's got her fire lit under her, she's going to be coming for the other girls.
I agree.
That's all I got to say about it.
I totally agree. No, I mean, just, I know you're keeping it like short and sweet and simple, but she really shined in this episode. She had that. She had Eliza character that was very strong. She had a really, really awesome runway. And we know she's a pageant girl. And she just has that air of confidence now. She was kind of faltering in the last episode with the fur and whatnot. And she's been safe, you know, prior to that. Now we've got this rise. And I agree with you. Hopefully, if she keeps going, she's going to be tough competition.
Yeah. Gary?
My closing thoughts are, I think the competition is about to begin. I think we've gotten to that point where Chester was referring to, like, you know, you're either high or you're low. There's not much in the middle anymore. And I understand where Trinity's bitching about she doesn't like being safe because she doesn't like the structure because you don't get feedback. Alexa said the same thing, I think, a week ago. She's like safe is okay, but safe is not okay because safe means I'm not, you know, I'm not standing out good or bad. So I think the competition is really about to begin. Maybe not the next episode, but probably in the last half. We're really going to see some of the stuff start to come out because, you know, Alexis called it at, I think, the beginning of this episode, where she said there were three specific queens out of the nine of them that she thinks needs to go. And one of them is now gone. So we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah.
If, you know, if she's got some, you know, if she happens to have herself a little crystal ball that she's, you know, looking into of some sort, or what's going on, I don't know. It's unknown. So I honestly think the competition's about to begin, because you're now going to get to the point where either you're cut out or you're not.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. The 90210 is next week's episode. It's going to air tomorrow night. I'll probably see it on Saturday or Sunday. And it's the acting challenge.
Yeah.
So some people are probably going to not do very well, but we'll see. That being said, I think we're done.
Yeah.
All right. If you want to get in touch with us, there's plenty of ways to do it. Obviously, the easiest way is to go to CubsOutLoud.com, and then you can just, you know, click the contact us, that kind of stuff. If you want, you can send us an email. It's CubsOutLoud@gmail.com, or you can leave us a voicemail message, and we would even play it on the show. You can call us at 361-COL-TALK. That's 361-265-8255. What?
Sorry.
What is going on?
He's like...
I'm on my phone.
Yeah. I'm trying to be on a roll and end up cutting the show, but no. Anyways, it's fine. You could also go online. You can go to facebook.com/CubsOutLoud or twitter.com/CubsOutLoud or Google Plus, which is google.com/+CubsOutLoud. And of course, Bear Underground, you can join the COL group there. You can say hello. And when it comes to the podcast, you can rate us on iTunes. You can give us a thumbs up on Stitcher Radio, any platform that you use. You know, put in a good word for us. We'd very much appreciate it. Give us that feedback. Let us know if it's not one of those, if it's something else. Tell us about the new shit you're using. And if you want to find me anywhere, pretty much on the internet, I go by GarBear73. That's GarBear73. And what about you guys?
You can find me as TheaterCub79 on Bear Underground, Tumblr, Growler, Hefty Net, Facebook, or you can find me as pup_umbra on Twitter.
You can find me on Tumblr or Twitter under the name The Pup Up There, or various bear dating sites across the net under the name Pup Shutter or Cupcake76.
And that said, we're going to exit once again to apparently the new ending song for the season from RuPaul's American album, It's Kitty Girl. Bye.
Bye-bye.